everyone, Siobhan Chapman here, and welcome to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Ms. podcast channel. It's Friday morning, which means it's time for the weekend review and preview conversation, where my guests will recap how markets have performed over the past few sessions and preview what you can expect in the week ahead. Today's conversation will primarily focus on the January employment report, as well as the current health of the U.S. labor market. Joining us for the conversation, I'm glad to welcome back Brian Rose with the UBS Chief Investment Office. Brian, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Thanks, Siobhan. Good morning, everyone.
Perfect. So let's get started. How did the January employment data come in relative to your expectations, and how would you characterize the current health of the U.S. labor market?
So the headline non-farm payrolls, which is what markets tend to focus on, that was a bit weaker than expected, 143,000 in January. But if you look at the overall, the details of the report, this was actually a very strong report. There were upper revisions to payrolls in November and December. If you take the three-month moving average, it's 237,000 per month, which is a big number. The unemployment rate came down to 4% in January, and the average hourly earnings were up 0.5% month to month, which is more than expected, the biggest in a year. And you put it together, you have strong job growth, and the low unemployment rate and earnings surprisingly the upside. So that is good news in terms of the state of the labor market and gives the Fed no reason to even think about cutting rates at this point. Their recent rhetoric has been that the downside risks to the labor market appear to have diminished, and this is just reinforcing that view. And one other thing I'll mention is that we had the annual benchmark revisions released today. Especially, there was a huge upward revision to the estimates for the number of immigrants, so the immigrant population, also the number of immigrants working. And on the new estimates, it seems that around 70% of the job growth the last year was driven by immigrant labor. So something to keep in mind, given that we have an acceleration of deportations and also a big slowdown in the number of immigrants coming into the country. So the big driver of the labor supply is going to not see much growth this year, and this I think will tend to give us a restricted labor supply going forward this year.
Thank you so much for that overview, Brian. So moving outside of the jobs numbers, what were some other notable data releases from this past week?
So we did have another labor-related release, which is the JOLTS, the job openings. These were down in December after rising the previous 2 months. And there's so much noise in this data that at this point, it's very hard to say what the trend is. So we had at the peak, more than 12 million job openings. Now we're below 8 million. But it's not clear if the trend now is flat or if it's still going lower. And, overall, JOLTS has been, considerably softer than we had at the peak back in 2022 when the market was severely overheated, but I would say it's more or less telling you have a relatively stable labor market. And then looking at some of the other data this week, we had the ISM PMIs, which were mixed. So manufacturing went above 50 for the first time in 27 months. And I wouldn't read too much into this, but it is in line with our view that the manufacturing sector will be healthier this year after basically flat manufacturing output last year. And on the services side, it was softer. And really, in both reports, a lot of the survey respondents talking about tariffs. So the threat of tariffs, and generally we should view this as negative for growth, even if the tariffs aren't actually imposed, just the fear that they might be creates uncertainty and will tend to be negative for the economy. And maybe one other thing to quickly mention, we had auto sales weaker in January relative to the very strong numbers in December. And this is important because it's the start of the first quarter, and after very, very strong demand for consumer durables at the end of last year, it seems like we're off to a softer start this year.
Brian, we are coming to the end of our conversation, and I want to turn to next week. What is taking place that investors should be mindful of?
So we have several key economic releases next week. The market focus, I think, will be on CPI data for January. So, of course, this is very important for the Fed. And what we've seen over the last 3 years is that every January you have very strong CPI prints. So the question is, well, will that be repeated again this time or not? And, the next 3 months of CPI data is very important because it's the best opportunity to see the year-over-year inflation rate come down. You have this high numbers in last year's data. So if we get softer numbers this year, the year-over-year, we'll make progress towards the Fed's 2% target and possibly set us up for rate cuts restarting. But if you get the more big numbers, and especially if the core inflation gets stuck where it is in year over year terms, it'd be very hard for the Fed to cut rates again. We'll also get next week the retail sales for January. As I mentioned before, this is interesting to see after the very strong numbers late last year, whether we're off to a softer start in 2025. And then get the NFIB survey of small businesses. In terms of sentiment, they are much happier following the election, last year's election results. But we'll see what they're saying in terms of intention to raise prices and also the labor-related indicators from that survey. And then the final, we get the industrial production for January. Again, we are expecting better news from the manufacturing sector this year.
Thank you so much for joining us, Brian.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.